Our 9 News Broncos insider Mike Kliss, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Mike, thank you again for dropping by Stokely and Zach here. Melvin Gordon back in court yesterday. I saw you had a write-up on your website. If you don't mind, just sort of lay out what our listeners need to know about this latest step in court with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, and by the way, thanks for fitting me in. I didn't know this week, you know, all you guys on the fan have been busy hyping John Clayton, the legendary John Clayton, the Hall of Famer John Clayton. I didn't know where I fit in there for a while. I don't know. It's getting...
You don't slip, Mike. Don't slip. You stay on top of your game now, right? You know?
Hey, I tell you what, I've never seen a 5-11 team with so many insiders.
Come on, Mike.
That's pretty funny. Just answer the darn question, Mike.
Yeah. By the way, John's great. I love John. Melvin Gordon is still, you know, this is the second time, actually, his lawyer said some new information they want to discuss. He talked about subpoenaed. The previous time also. It's just amazing. Every time an elite athlete gets mixed up in the legal system, it's a reminder to me just how slow and ponderous the court system moves.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a disposition hearing, which they hope to talk out things to avoid a trial. That has been delayed to March 10th. The jury trial is still April 8th, and that's big. I would think that's big because any type of either guilty verdict or guilty plea by Melvin Gordon, and he's probably facing a 3-game suspension to start the 2021 season. So Broncos are monitoring it, and Melvin Gordon's, you know, I'm sure he doesn't think it's affecting his football future, but it's always here today, gone tomorrow, it seems like, at some point in the NFL, and it comes before you know it. So we'll see what this means for Melvin Gordon, both short-term and long-term.
Yeah, and certainly if you're Melvin Gordon, you don't want to be hitting free agency this year. I mean, this is the worst time to be a free agent. So,
because of the lower cap.
Right.
And what would happen, he's got, just to further explain on what you're talking about there, Stoke, he's got a $4.5 million fully guaranteed base salary right now. And if he's found guilty in any way, shape, or form, the Broncos can – and probably would avoid that guaranteed. And so now they could still work off that same contract and he could still get his money. But there's no guarantee if the Broncos want to move on from him. So that's at stake also.
Now, Mike, if he does get off, right, let's say his lawyer, you know, pulls a rabbit out of the hat here and he gets off somehow, some way, Scott clean here, free, out. Can the NFL take a look at it and say, no, this is fishy here. We see, you know, the report and still suspend him for 1, 2, or possibly 3 games?
They could. They have that right, although I would think in this case they would not, and a DUI case, if it's determined that he is innocent, whatever reason there is for him in your scenario that he would be innocent would also be the same scenario that the NFL would say, well, we can't judge him guilty if he's been judged innocent. So,
well, we've seen guys not get charged, Mike, and still the NFL hands them down a penalty. So we've seen cases
not
where guys
as much,
don't even.
Not as, you did see that a lot early in Roger Goodell's term.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it quite as much.
Gotcha.
And I also would think a domestic violence might be a little different, for instance.
Gotcha.
And versus a DUI, I think it's more the crime, you know, that you're talking about. Marijuana possession. If a guy is found innocent, I think he would be innocent by the NFL. domestic violence, they might look at things differently.
Sure.
And but I would think in this case on a DUI, you know, if the jury, if his eight person jury, they all show up wearing Bronco jerseys, and he gets off,
right.
and he gets off. You know, I don't know. I would think that,
that would
be clean.
Okay.
That way, I think so.
Mike, you had an article a day or so ago about Justin Simmons, and the way that you framed the going from like the fifth highest paid safety to the first highest paid safety was interesting.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think of it like that. That, you know, when we say, hey, you know, resetting the market or paying him the highest, you know, annual average value, it can come off as a little bit scary. But when you said the difference between the fifth highest paid safety and the first highest paid safety in terms of annual average value, it's just a difference of $800,000. And
yeah.
And I found that really interesting. And what you didn't include in your piece was any reference to the cap carryover for the Denver Broncos. And the Broncos are in the seventh best position in the NFL in terms of cap carryover, almost $18 million. If we have a cap floor, let's just say it's 180, because it's not going to go below that. The NFL has already informed teams of that. It could be even higher. But let's just be conservative and say it's $180 million. You combine the near $18 million, and the Broncos could actually have more cap space in 2021 than the cap of 198 in 2020. So
that's a good point. That's a good point. They're going to have more cap space after today with the cutting of Jarrell Casey.
Yes,
and
to that point, Mike. To that point, and James Palmer put this out on Twitter that currently the Broncos sit with roughly $40 million in cap space after the release of Jarrell Casey. That's a top five number in the league. So I said all that to say, if the Broncos really want to get this Justin Simmons thing done, they can.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually one of the more unique positions to get it done, but yet we keep hearing that they're not going to make him the highest paid safety. And I just don't know how to reconcile those two things if they say they love him.
Well, I don't know. First of all, I don't know what their offer or what they're talking as far as numbers. But I do believe the Broncos are committed to getting the deal done with Justin Simmons. And you know, it's and one thing I just try to characterize this thing just a little bit on the Justin Simmons talks is, you know, it takes two to get a deal done. And I don't think it's, you know, everyone always blames the team. Everyone always blames the management. Sometimes the team does quite a bit to get a deal done. And, the player just wants more. Just, is this tough? It's just tough to pin them down on a multi-year contract. So I think the Broncos are going to make a strong offer to Justin Simmons before this is over. They got till May 9th is the franchise tag deadline. And then that's really kind of a placeholder deal until we used that word last year, I think, placeholder, the franchise tag. And then July 15th becomes the hard deadline for getting a deal done. From what I understand, George Payton wants Justin Simmons back. And it may help that he's the GM rather than John Elway. John Elway one thing about John, he was a very competitive guy, and he hated to give a precedent-setting contract to his guys. I mean, Von Miller won the guy a Super Bowl, and he didn't want to give him a record deal,
right.
You know, that offseason. I don't know about George. We'll find out about George's philosophy. It seemed like Minnesota was a little more open to paying guys. I mean, the Vikings gave a record deal to Kirk Cousins. Remember, go back to 18. The Broncos went for Keenum instead of Cousins for one reason. They did not want to give Cousins a record, fully guaranteed three-year deal at $28 million apiece a year. That was too much. They were going to give him 2 years guaranteed, but they did not want to give a full three-year guarantee. That was the unprecedented aspect of it, and at $28 million. So they went with Case Keenum at 2 years and 18 and basically guaranteed 1.5 years of that deal. That's kind of how John Elway at his core operated. Now, George Payton comes from the Vikings, who paid that full 3 years, $28 million. So kind of use that as context. And maybe, you know, and like I pointed out there, it's so compacted, the top five safety. And the franchise tag that Justin would get is 13.7. So already he's sixth, and he's within a million of number one.
Right.
It's, you know, they're not that far apart. And they can get it done. But again, you know, if the Broncos offer Justin Simmons 14.9 and Simmons says that's not good enough, I want 15.5, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, by the way, then you can't blame the Broncos for not getting the deal done necessarily. I mean, you can blame them on half, but don't forget there's another party involved here.
Yeah, it takes both to get a deal done. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Mike, you know, Jarrell Casey got released today, freed up a lot of cap room. Do you foresee any other veterans, you know, besides a guy like Von Miller, any other veterans, a Kareem Jackson or somebody that maybe we haven't talked about? How about a Royce Freeman, somebody like that possibly getting released here before free agency starts?
No, you brought up Vaughn is, you know, with his contract and Kareem with his contract, you'd have to watch that. I think, you know, I do think they want, you know, we'll see what happens with Vaughn off the field here, but, absent there, I think the Broncos want both of those guys back at a reduced rate is what I think. And, the problem is if you, GM once told me if you cut a guy, if you cut a guy's salary, you better be prepared to cut him. Now that's not necessarily how the Broncos have worked over the years. They cut Peyton Manning and they kept him. They cut DeMarcus Ware for a year and they kept him. So, when the Broncos cut salary, they also, do it with the intention of trying to bring the guy back. You know, you got to watch to see what happens with Philip Lindsay with the RFA tender. What they decide to do there, I think, in light of Melvin Gordon, I said I'd be surprised if both are back this year. In light of Melvin Gordon's jury trial on April 8th and free agency opening on March 17th, I think the Broncos will tender Philip Lindsay. I think they have to, don't they? I mean, they might not have Gordon the first 3 years this year. You'd like to have Philip Lindsay for those first three games if Gordon's not there. So a second round tender is a little steep, maybe a 3-point-something million. The original round tender with the match, that's risky also. So I think he's back in
play. Do you know what that number is?
Round tender.
Do you know what that number is?
No, because they have to set the salary cap first.
Gotcha.
Last year it was 3.5 at 198. So, you know, correspond it down to 185. Maybe it's 3.2 this year, 3.3. So those are the guys.
What are the options, Mike? What would the numbers be, the options for Philip Lindsay? Just
second round tender.
Yeah.
Let's not go first round tender. That would be that would there's no sense doing that. The second round tender would be $3.3 million, and another team could sign him away, but would have to give the Broncos at least a second round draft pick. That all but kills his market when you do something like that. As an undrafted guy, an original round tender means you don't you basically don't give him any contract. Another team can come in and offer him whatever they want, 3 years and 10. With C.J. Anderson a few years ago, it was four and 20, I think, 4 and 12. The Broncos wound up matching the Dolphins on that. And instead of paying him 2.5, they wound up paying him 2 years and 10.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to be that. That's why, you know, you
so
don't want to
probably wanna, the second round tender, right?
I would say, yeah, you don't want to step over a what do they say? You don't want to step over a nickel to save a dollar. I don't know. I probably messed
You're
that up.
You're asking the wrong guys.
But anyway, yeah, probably right now in light of Melvin Gordon thinking about it, I wouldn't be surprised if they get the second round tender. But that's not guaranteed. I think we all know Philip was unhappy last year. So they're going to have to talk it out. George is going to have to talk it out with Lindsay and his agent to see what happens there. But other than that, you know, Shelby's a free agent. I think the Broncos' number on Shelby is more like $5 or $6 million a year, not 10. So Shelby might think it's 10. So there, you will have to see what happens there.
Yeah.
It wasn't 10 last year. It ain't 10 this year.
Yeah.
No. He thought it was 12 to 15 last year.
I know.
He fell a little short.
Yeah, like a quarter of that. I think he was just a little over $3 million this year, Mike.
I know. But he did double down a little bit. He did kind of follow up with a nice year. He was banged up and he had COVID and that cost him. But he still made plays. I would think 5 or 6. You never know. Actually, this year, I think we're going to be surprised at the affordable contracts that some of these guys might get. It's going to be an interesting year for players and agents. With this reduced cap, because I think owners will say, look, even if the cap's reduced to 185 this year, we're not out of the woods yet. Can you promise me that the stands are going to be filled in 2021?
No.
And no one's going to be able to do that.
Right.
So, Mike, it's going to be an interesting year.
Mike, last one from me, and this is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Russell Wilson.
Take that, John Clayton.
You're our guy, Mike. Don't, Mike, no need to be jealous here. You're our guy, okay? You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry.
All right.
Hey,
all right.
Mike, this story with Russell Wilson is pretty wild. The Broncos apparently are not on his short list. All right.
Right.
With the Deshaun Watson.
Snubbed.
What's that?
Got snubbed by Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. But the latest update with Deshaun Watson coming from Dan Graziano within the last hour. I'm not sure if you've seen this, but he says per sources, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans again. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. Do we know? I know it's been sort of whispered that like the Broncos would, you know, be in on this. And John Clayton, speaking of the devil, he put in there that like the Broncos are in a unique position because they can be a little bit patient because they like Drew Lock enough that if it doesn't work out, they would be willing to go down that road. And maybe the timetables for the Broncos would actually line up because maybe something like this with Deshaun wouldn't take place until training camp. Do you buy into that idea? And do you know that George Payton would in fact make a play for Deshaun Watson if he became available?
I don't know. I don't know for sure just because circumstances change. You know, it could be that the first 2 weeks of training camp, Drew Lock has it's obvious to all the coaches that Drew Lock has made a significant step up. You know, he is reading everything. You know, last year, Drew Lock started off with a real good – he had a real good first week of camp. You know, they talked about no off season, no preseason. He looked really good the first week. The second week, he looked bad. The third, and then he looked a little inconsistent. Then all of a sudden, in the second stadium scrimmage, he looked good again. And lo and behold, you know, you think camp doesn't mean anything. Lo and behold, the season starts, and what happens with Drew Lock during the season? He's good. He's bad. He's good. He's bad. He's inconsistent during the season. what we saw in camp is what we got, you know, during the season. And so, you know, maybe that happens for Drew Lock, and he lights it up and he impresses everybody. But as of now, and the Broncos are waiting, there is nothing that it is true right now. Houston has rebuffed all calls. That's not, you know, not anything for that they're doing on purpose for public consumption to make it look good. They are telling everybody that he's not available. I do think the Broncos would at least, I think they would owe it to the organization, the fans. I mean, this has been a bad team for four years now, to make an attempt. If Deshaun Watson's interested in the Broncos, I can't see the Broncos saying, no, Deshaun, sorry, we're not interested in you. That is not going to happen. So whenever Deshaun Watson is available, if he is, I'm sure the Broncos would be interested, regardless of when it is. But in the meantime, yeah, it's going to be Drew Lock. But it doesn't mean it's going to be, even though, let's say, Deshaun Watson's not available till second week of training camp, that doesn't mean the Broncos are going into training camp with just Drew Lock and Brett Rypien. They're going into they will have a veteran of some sort. Maybe they go Mac Brown with the number 9 pick. I don't know.
Mac Brown.
They're going to have
the North Carolina coach.
Who's he's playing quarterback.
Who's the Alabama quarterback?
Mac Jones.
There you go, Mac Jones. Sorry about that, Mac.
just screwing with you, Mike.
Mac, maybe it's Mac Jones of number. No wonder Clayton's at the legend. there's going to be substantial competition for Lock going into training camp.
Yep.
All right, man. Great stuff, Mike. We love you, man. You're always going to be
number one in our book.
Always going to be one
you're
of our
first love, Mike. You're our first love.
That away, guys. And I do want to say, all kidding aside,
yeah,
Clayton's been great to me. When I moved over from baseball back in 05, and John Clayton was the one and only. He was kind of Adam Schefter before Schefter as far as breaking everything. And he treated me very well. I'm just kidding with him. That's why I'm.
Of course.
That's what I'm doing.
We know
all right,
that,
guys.
Mike. We know.
All right.
Hey, maybe this week we can do a power rankings of our insiders. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
I heard you guys talking about the 9 starting quarterbacks since Peyton retired the other day.
What'd you think?
How many? You guys were right on. But what? Did you have Simeon 1?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
I know Marilad had Drew Lock 1, and I guess you can make a case for that too. But how many insiders would there be? There might be 14 that we'd have to rank.
A lot. Yeah, that might be a whole 30-minute segment.
Oh, man. Hey, great stuff.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll talk
to you
soon.
All right, guys.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
All right. Great stuff.